talking about the sound of his voice. I'm talking about the way that he speaks. So Rav Kluger has a volume of Svarim called Nezer Yisrael. And in the volume on Moadim, which is the second volume, on page 196, he has a short mimer, which is connected to other pieces in this section on Chanukah, called Or HaGanuz Or HaYediyah. Or HaGanuz Or HaYediyah. What's the deepest sugya in all of Yiddishkeit? What's the deepest sugya in all of Yiddishkeit? Nice and gracious, okay, good answer. What else? What's the deepest sugya in all of Yiddishkeit? I wish I could see you guys more. Could you like... What's the deepest sugya in all of Yiddishkeit? Mice of Bereshis. What else?
Or Bereshis.
The light of Bereshis. Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or Vayehi Or. Okay, maybe. Where are the extra copies? Okay, good. Just make sure people get it as they come in. Yeah, what else? What's one of the most unanswerable questions? Okay. Moshe Rabbeinu asks the Kadosh Baruch Hu, reveal to us, teach me, explain to me why tzaddik v'ralo, why do tzaddikim suffer? It's a big question. What else?
Can't see
Hashem? Says so. Echad haya avram. Or haganos. Okay, well, or haganos, we're going to say, we're about to learn, is a code word, actually, for one of the deepest, if not the deepest, so again, the most perplexing question of all. All the answers so far are good. Right? But what about the question of Bechira and Yediya? What about the fact that I'm supposed to somehow accept that I have free will, despite the fact that Hashem knows everything? That's a very, very complicated and sometimes very painful sugya. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, which I have open in front of me, Perek Hei, Halacha Hei. The Rambam says, if a Kadosh Baruch Hu knows everything, Shema Tomar, V'halo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yodeya Kol Mashi Yihya, V'kodim Shiyya Yada Shezeh Yatzadik Ozeh Rasha. Kadosh Baruch Hu knows exactly what's going to be before anything happens. So you might start to wonder, so how do I have the ability to choose? The Rambam begins the fifth parak. This is the last halacha I'm reading in the fifth parak. How does the Rambam begin the fifth parak of Hilchos Tshuva? Rishus l'chol adam nisuna. Rishus, you have rishus to do what you want with your life. If you want to lahatos atmo l'derech tova lios sadik, harishus biyado. If you want to incline yourself to a life of righteousness, that choice is yours. V'im ratza lahatos atmo l'derech ra, if you want to incline yourself towards wickedness, v'lios rasha, and to become a rasha, harishus biyado, the choice is yours. So says the Rambam in the last halach in the fifth parak of Tshuva, Shema Tomar, but hold on a second. Hashem knows everything. So you start off by telling me I have the ability to choose, and God is not going to impose himself upon my free will. And then you tell me a few halachos about how Hashem knows everything. And then finally, in the last halach, in the parak, Hilchos Tshuva parak hei, halacha hei, the Rambam says, so if you'll ask, so how do those two things work together? How do I have free will, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything? Says the Rambam, this is in fact one of the deepest sugyas of all. Da shetshuvas shelezu arucha me'eretz mida urachava mineyam. You should know the resolution of this question is wider than the expanse of the entire universe and deeper than the deepest seas. In other words, it's an impossibly deep question. And in case you think it's a question that I can just put off to the side because it's just one big question, it's not just one big question. The Rambam says, Kama ikarim gedolim v'harim ramim tluyim ba. There are many great principles. Massive mountains, the Rambam using poetic terminology just to help us appreciate the fullness of this question. Right? The Rambam described, it's as wide as the expanse of the earth. It's as deep as the deepest sea. It's as high as the highest mountains. How can we reconcile the apparent contradiction between what? Between my free will and the fact that Hashem knows everything. So this is a very, very deep question. Somewhat, we're not supposed to explore this question. The Navi that we read on a public fast day, on a Tanis Sibur, the Haftorah, Mincha time, we acknowledge, Lo Machshav Osai Machshav Oseichem. Lo Machshav Osai Machshav Oseichem, V'lo Darcheichem Darachai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you don't know how to think like I do, you don't know how to function, how to act like I do. You're not going to figure me out. What does the Ravid write on this Rambam? The Ravid, the great Bar Plukta on the Rambam, and his Hasagas HaRavid. You know what he writes over here in Hilchos Tshuva 5:5? He says, thank you, Rambam, for reminding us how confused we are. He's very upset at the Rambam. He says, why are you writing this? Lo nohag zeh machaber minag hachachamim. He calls him out. He says, the Rambam, you're not acting smart. Why are you confusing people? Why are you pointing out contradictions that you're saying are too difficult for us to understand? You're basically telling someone, here's a really big problem in your life, and by the way, there's no solution. So don't point out the problem to people. Why are you pointing out the problem? Lo nag zeh machaber minag chachamim, she'ein adam maschil bedavar v'lo yada lahashlimo. Why start a topic that you can't conclude? Why raise really good questions at the beginning of the shiur? What makes the shiur enjoyable is that hopefully there's a process of explaining the questions and hopefully coming to some resolution of the questions. This is what the Ravid is writing in his Hasagos on the Rambam, on the side of the page. He says, the Rambam, this wasn't smart. Why are you pointing out stiras and contradictions that are as expansive as the world, as deep as the ocean, as high as the highest mountains? Right? And then say, well, you know, you're not going to figure it out because lo machshu osai machshu oseichem. You can't think like God. Rav Huttner is quoted by Rav Volbi in his writings on Chumash. He started printing some of the writings of Rav Volbi on Chumash. So in the Bereishis volume, it came out a bunch of years ago. I don't remember where it is. But I saw once in there that Rav Volbi quotes from Rav Huttner, Rav Yitzhak Huttner Zatzal, who explained that, no, the Rambam is pointing out this stira. And he's writing it not only, by the way, in the Mor Nevuchim, he's writing it in his halachic work, because he's teaching us halach lemaisa. What's the halach lemaisa? What's the halach lemaisa? You can live with the question. The halach lemaisa is it's okay to be fully aware of the question. You don't have to ignore it or avoid it. You can know it's a big question, and you can still function. You can still be a believing Jew. You can still do your mitzvos with the absolute sense of what? A reshus l'chol adam nesuna. Choice is mine, to choose my life. But again, you kind of hear what the Ravid is saying. Why are you pointing out this contradiction? Why are you making it confusing for me? So Rav Kluger is now going to teach us that this sugya is the sugya of the Or HaGanus. This is the sugya of the Or HaGanus, the hidden light of creation. Okay, let's just review a little chumash for a second. Because Baruch Hu created the world, Bereishis bara Elokim es haShemayim ve'es haaretz, va'aretz ha'isa sohu v'avohu v'choshech al p'nei sahom. Medrash says choshech represents Yavan. The third verse of the Chumash, va'yomer Elokim yihi or, va'yihi or. Hashem said, let there be light, va'yihi or, and there was light. There's an amazing piece from the Vilna Gaon. I thought I had the sefer in my office. I don't have it in my office. So I don't know where else it's. In the Pnina Mishulchan Hagra on Bereishis, the Vilna Gaon says, and you'll see why it's relevant, that Yehi Or, Vayehi Or, Yehi Or, let there be light, Vayehi Or, and there was light, is somehow being Mekasher, the future, Yehi Or, right, what there will be, Vayehi Or, and there was light. And it somehow, this pasuk represents everything from sort of beginning to end and from end to beginning. Why is that important? It's important because the Gemara in Chagiga that the original light of creation was Misof HaOlam V'Atzo. Adam HaRishon, with the original light, could see from one end of the world to the other end. I am very interested in this topic. Not the ability to see Misof HaOlam, but I'm very interested in the topic that if Chanukah, I'm working on it, and maybe by next week we'll have something to say, but just, you know, to give you a taste of it, if Chanukah is the Or HaGanuz, and the Or HaGanuz is this original light, and this original light is Yehi Or VaYehi Or, It's a light that spans from what? From the farthest reaches of the future to the primordial light that preceded the world. That has a lot to do with, I think, the fact that Chanukah is Chanukah. What would you say about Chanukah? It's weird, no? Chanukah is the mitzvah. It's the last mitzvah. We said many times. It's mitzvah 620. Right? 613 Daraisa, 7 mitzvahs Darabanan. So Chanukah is the most futuristic mitzvah. It's the last mitzvah. It's the mitzvah that takes us into the future. And yet, it's the mitzvah that's actually rooted in the very first thing of creation. Chanukah has this interesting ability to be the newest light and the oldest light at the same time. A new way, which is also a very old way, to quote a great tzaddik. Right? A new path, which is a very old path. Right? Is Chassidus a new thing? Or is Chassidus the most ancient of wisdom? Is it Atik Yomen? Is it ancient days? Chanukah has this awesome ability to connect the old. It's the oldest light and it's the freshest light at the same time. There's a lot to think about there. And that's hinted to, the Vilna Gaon says, in this Yehi Or, let there be light, what's going to be. Vayihi Or is sort of reflecting in the Avar, what was. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't hear it yet. Okay, say.
So in Rish, in regular Sesechi,
yeah.
Right, first piece, talks about how before there was creation, there was just
the Or Ein Sof, right.
Right, like you said, it's from one world and
right.
The other, and then Hashem made a challah,
right.
Pulled out
right.
A piece of himself, which the Or was himself, and then used that opening to create the world. Then in Chanukah, it talks about the Or Gamos, which is the light that the Torah, right, the Adam was able to see for 36 hours, hence the 36 candles. Then it was not like palatable for human consumption, so they went into the Torah and we bring it out through the Chanukah candles.
Right.
So it was 36 candles for 30 minutes at a time, which is why the
Torah. Okay, fine, good. Say your question. What's your question? That's okay.
So the question is that the same light?
Is the light the same light?
Is the light that was. That preceded Bereshit, preceded time and reality, the same light that modern Rishon
is the Or
6 hours, which then was hidden in the Torah and released through the.
Yes. The answer is yes. It's a little complicated, but the answer is yes. Is the Or Ein Sof and the Or HaGadol the same? Yeah.
Everything
yes.
Is.
Yes. Yes. Maybe we'll understand it better after we read this piece, but yes. Let's talk about it more. Okay, good. So we have this original light. Right? That's what it means. It's an ancient light, right? Meaning, what does it mean? Yehi Or, Vayihi Or. There was light. Yeah, because before creation, there was only the light of Hashem. And by the way, Hashem is not a light, as we've said in the past. The Ramchal explains that light is a good mashal for Hashem. The Ramchal, or Moshe Chaim Litzata, the author of Mesilas Yesharim, says light is a good parable for Hashem because light is something that's very real to us. It fills our world. This room is illuminated right now. That's how we're able to see each other and to see the page in front of us. At the same time, I can't grasp the light. I don't really understand where it is. So it's a very good mashal. The Ramchal writes in the Sefer Klach Pischei Chachma that it's a good mashal for HaKadosh Baruch Hu because Hashem is like light in that way. But Hashem is not actually light. Hashem is not really Or. We said in the past that Or is the same gematria as Ein Sof, that light represents the endlessness, right? Or is 207 and Ein Sof is 207.
So it's
Raz. So it's Raz, the secret of the light, exactly. Okay, so Hashem created this light. Vayomer Elokim Yihior, fine. Vayihior. Vayar Elokim Es Haor Ki Tov. Vayavdel Elokim Bein Haor Ubein HaChoshach. What's one of the first things that a Kadosh Baruch Hu does? Hashem sees the light. I mean, these are such deep sukkim. Yeah, who said Maisa Bereshis? Certainly one of the biggest sukkis. Hashem sees the light. He sees Ki Tov. He sees the light is good. And Hashem separates the light from the darkness. Again, if Choshech is Yavan, and Or represents this awesome light, so this is obviously a very big Chanukah sugya. Okay? What happened to this original light? So Rashi tells us, Hashem saw that people are going to misuse the light. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hid away the light. That's how it became known as the Or HaGanuz, the hidden light. How did the light become Ganuz? It became Ganuz. What's the gematria of Ganuz? 66, same as Yavan. Ganuz is the same as Yavan. Which is also part of the reason the Pach Shemen that they found in the Beis HaMikdash, if you remember, where did they find it? It had to be in a place that was ganuz, it was hidden, it was underground. Right? Everything that has to do with Chanukah is hidden, and the revelation of that which is hidden. Okay? So as Eliot said, what did Hashem do with this original light? Where did Hashem put this original light? So the Baal Shem Tov, HaKadosh, says that the original light is hidden in the Torah. The light was taken and it was hidden in the Torah, which means it was not really, it was hidden in plain view. That's going to be a very important Hagdara for what we're about to learn. The original light was hidden in plain view. Sort of. Meaning it's all here. It's somehow hidden here. All right, well, if it's in the Torah, why don't I see it? Okay, gotta look, gotta train your eyes to look deeper. But it's an amazing thing. It's hidden out in the open. Just most people don't have eyes to see it, and that's what we're about to learn. And we're gonna understand that through the lens of another sugya we don't understand, which is the relationship between God. There's a lot of noise outside today. It's supposed to be a very important piece. Sitra Acha is trying to stop us. Maybe, I don't know, yeah, if you don't mind. A little better. So we're going to try to understand what we don't understand through the ultimate sugi we don't understand. The Kluger is going to say, what do you mean? It's right in front of your face. It's right there in front of your face. The Baal Shem Tov is again quoted as saying, say for Sifsei Tzadikim in Parshas Bahar, quotes the Baal Shem Tov who explained that the Ora Ganuz of the future could be seen by looking deeply into the Torah. That's why it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vayavdel Elokim Es HaOr. Hashem separated Es Ha'or. What's the gematria of Es Ha'or? And you'll know exactly where it is. A lot of tzaddikim bring this remez. Bnei Yisachar brings it. Right? Is what? 613. Es Ha'or is 613. So in case you're wondering where that light went, Vayavdel Elokim Es Ha'or, Hashem separated Es Ha'or, that light, where did he put it? He put it Batorah. Torah is 611, Bat Torah in the Torah is 613. Of course, 613 represents Torah because 613 is the 613 mitzvahs of the Torah. So that's where the light is hidden. Okay? But the goal is for us to be able to recognize that light. How many times, by the way, is Hanukkah mentioned in the Zohar? You know how hidden the Hanukkah light is? It's so hidden that even the Zohar only mentions Hanukkah once. Bnei Yisachar writes in his second mimer on Kislev in Os Chaf Aleph, he says that Chanukah is so hidden that even the Zohar is hiding Chanukah. It's in one place in the Zohar, and it's in one place in the Tikkuni Zohar. Again, that's just the Pach Shemin, the Pach Echad. One time it appears in the deepest writings, but it's very hidden. It's so hidden that even in the Zohar, it can't contain the light. But you're telling me it's in every word of Torah, which means it's right there. You know, like the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tamei Torah. The Torah is sitting in the corner. Kol mi she'yirtzeh yavav yitol. Come and get it. So we have to understand how something can be hidden right in front of our face. Okay, so let's read Rav Kluger now. We're going to start on the side of the page that says Kuf Tzad Yavav. And we're going to start from the second paragraph. Sod mashmos or haganus. Everyone see where we are in the right-hand column? Sod mashmos or haganus. The secret implication of the Or HaGanus. Sha'abriya kefi shehi shlema b'tachlis ha'shlemus. Yeah, you see it? The secret of the Or HaGanus is that the world exactly as it is shlema b'tachlis ha'shlemus. Is perfect. The world is perfect. Really? What world are you living on, Rav Kluger? That's the hard question to answer. Right? But what's he talking about? The world is perfect. The world, yeah, the world is just exactly the way it needs to be. Yesh olam. Shleima b'tachlis ha-shleimus. It's perfect with absolute perfection. Really? So if Kluger says, yeah. What does it mean? When we talk about Mashiach coming, where is he coming from? What does that mean Mashiach is going to arrive? What does it mean for Mashiach to arrive? He's here. He has to what? He has to reveal himself. So, something that's right in front of your face, you just can't see it, is not there. It's not there. So when you look at the world, if you look at it with our eyes, you say, oh, this world has so many issues. It's so broken. There's so much fixing that needs to take place. From Hashem's perspective, the world is exactly the way that it's supposed to be. You understand how we're hitting that wall of Yediyah and Bechira? From my standpoint, from my viewpoint, from my Olam Hazeh view of Bechira, I need to make choices to better the world. There's a lot of problems. There are people who literally don't have food to eat. There are people who don't believe in God. There are people who don't know that they're Jewish. There's so many things. There are countries that have such antagonistic views towards each other, rooted in baseless hatred. And it leads to war, and it leads to death, and it leads to all sorts of troubles. So there's so many things that I could try to fix. From small things in my own life, to right around the corner from me, to around the whole globe. And yet Kluger says, no, the world is perfect. Because from Hashem's perspective, Hashem who knows all, Hashem who operates outside of time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the world is exactly the way it's supposed to be. Just because you can't see how it's unfolding or how it's revealing itself doesn't mean that it's not happening. Af kila einei basar nires. When we look at the world through our, again, einei basar, through our physical eyes, we see the what? We see the chisaron of the world. We see that the world is lacking shleimus. We see a world that's pugum, he says. Mikol v'kol. There's a lack of shleimus in the world. We see a world that's pugum. Pugum means damaged. We see a world that's broken in every aspect of it. Mikol makom, says Rav Kluger, this perspective, mabat zeh, hu rak asher mabitim alea, this perspective is only if we look at the world with what? Through Bechinas Bechira, through the perspective of Bechira. Through man as he exists in this world, accepting physical reality, facing reality as my physical eyes tell me, and that's important. I'm supposed to see it that way. That's why Hashem makes us see it that way. That's why I see it that way. From the perspective of Bechira, I have to see a world, and I have to see the problems, and I have to try to fix. V'rom sha'abruim einam bochrim batov. I see people making bad choices. People are not using their Bechira well. The free will that we've been given, people use it for the most destructive things possible. I'm reading a book, a very excellent book on the history of the Holocaust. And you start to understand, again, we don't understand anything, right? But at least in terms of the historical realities of how it came to be, you start seeing what was the aftermath of World War I, what was the feelings in Germany, how a Hitler, Yimach Shemo, comes to power, right? And how the ability of a charismatic person to spread lies could become facts in the eyes of people, right? So it's unbelievable. And to use that koach of Bechira to choose to negate your own awareness of the truth, to make up lies, to literally make up lies and then to live out those lies, to say something that you know is not true about someone, to say that Jews didn't help in the German war effort in World War I. They knew it wasn't true. But they spread that lie and then they lived that lie. And because of that, Jews are bad. You know that's not true. You know the Jews fought in the war. You know they helped their country. So how do you make up a lie like that and then choose to live it? That's called Bechira, free will. You can choose to do whatever you want. You can choose to murder 6 million Jews if you want. Right? Rahman al-Islam. So the fact that we see a world that's broken from the perspective of Bechira, it's based on people making bad choices. And we have to, from our perspective of Bechira, we have to try to make good choices. However, when we zoom out a little bit, when we take a step back, and Rav Kluger gives some excellent mashalim, very simple, this is a very pashut piece, very deep piece, but it's mamish pashut, Rav Kluger style, pashut mashalim, just to make a very, very deep and life-altering, point. Says Rav Kluger, Baram kasher mizbonim el tocha mibachutz, but when I look at the world from the outside, when I zoom out a little bit, when I'm in it, I saw someone pacing outside a classroom yesterday, about to take their midterm or whatever. And some people had finished the test, they were coming out of the room and they were schwitzing. I mean, the chevra was really schwitzing on Glock 3 yesterday. Anyone zochet that test on Glock 3, yeah? Chevra was schwitzing. It was a rough test, I could tell. Right? People were like, Everyone was looking for a bracha, a tefillah, something, a bas kol that life's going to be okay, right? So I said to one guy, I said, just like zoom out a little bit for a sec. Like, I know right now, like, your whole world is Gluck 307 or whatever, but just like take a step back. I said, picture your life in 10 years from now. So is this test really going to matter so much? It's enough to allow you to like breathe a little slower, you know? Like, big picture, is this going to make or break your existence? It's not. The answer is it's not. How is not? So relax. Zoom out a little bit. Right? Have a bigger perspective. Does Hashem not still control the world? Does Hashem not already know your test results? See, this is where Yediyah actually helps us. Because I'm supposed to live in the world of Bechir. I'm supposed to live HaRishus Nesunalach. I have Rishus to make choices. But I also have to say, well, hold on a second. Bereishis Bar Elokim. The racist thing I need to know is Bar Elokim, that there's a creator to the world. And he's in charge of every bit of the world. Does that work with my ability to choose? And you know, so should I not have studied for the test? Should I just go in blind? After all, it was a multiple choice test, so there is a chance that Hashem... No, no one's saying that. I have to live with Bechira, but I also have to live with Yediya. That's a really hard topic, says the Rambam. So the Rambam says, yeah, that's a really hard topic. But there's a way to have both perspectives in a healthy way. And when you understand that, you're getting a glimpse of the light of the Or HaGadlus. When we zoom out a little bit, when we look in from the outside, when we look at the world the way Hashem looks at the world, it's a beautiful lashon. What's the title of this piece? Or Haganuz Or Hayidia. The light of what? Of Hashem's omniscience. The fact that Hashem knows all. When I start to see the world from Hashem's perspective, then I have to believe that the world is perfect. Now again, when I look at it from my perspective, it's very imperfect. When I look at it from Hashem's perspective, so what does that mean? How does Hashem see this world? How does Hashem see this world as perfect? Doesn't Hashem like get the newspaper? Doesn't he like, you know? Doesn't he check his mail? Doesn't he realize like what's happening in the world? Doesn't he go online and you know, see the struggles taking place around the globe and the crimes that were committed yesterday and the crimes that people are plotting today? And how does Hashem look at this? The answer is Hashem sees beyond time. Hashem doesn't see the story as it's unfolding. Hashem sees the punchline already. Hashem knows the end of the movie. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to see how every single thing falls into place. And there's not one extra puzzle piece. So when we're able to get a glimpse of the Or HaYediyah, Asher HaKol Shalim Al Tikuno, that everything is exactly wholesome, complete, in the way it's supposed to be. B'chol HaBriya Kula Eino Ki'im Biur Echad Gadol L'Kras Giloy Or Hashem Yisparach. And therefore, what is life as we know it? It's one big process of Biur. What's Biur mean? Right, Boer on Shabbos is right, selecting, right, for the purpose of what? To clarify. Right? To separate for the purpose of clarification, to categorize, to put things as opposed to being just an irbuvia, a big jumble. I want to start to separate, you know, red jelly beans, white jelly beans, green jelly beans. Right? I don't want the irbuvia, I don't want the mix. Interesting, the word that we use for that mix is irbuvia. It's related to the word erev, nighttime. If you look at the Ibn Ezra at the beginning of Chumash, on Vayera Vayi Boker, what does Boker mean? Right? Bikur. Bikur means to what? To investigate for the purpose of clarification. Erev, he says, Ibn Ezra writes, Rabbi Avim Ben Ezra, Ibn Ezra writes that what is Erev? Erev is Milashon Erbuvia. Nighttime is where everything is not clear. Like the Mesilas Yesharim gives the mashal, at night you can misinterpret things. You cannot see something in the front of you, not realize that there's a stumbling block in front of you. You can see something in front of you and think it's something else. You can think that someone's about to attack you, and then you turn on the lights and you see it's just an umbrella hanging off of a, you know, coat rack. It's not a guy standing with a baseball bat about to smack you over the head. So when a person's in a state of Laila or Erev, there's an Irbuvia, there's confusion. Biror is the process of clarification. So what is this whole life about? Says Rav Kluger, it's one big biror of revealing the light of Hashem Yisparach. Now, where is this light? Are we importing it from the outside? No, it's here. It's just about revealing it. It's here all along. Chassidus says, Hashem never left. This whole mashal that Eliyahu was describing before, that the world was filled with an Or Ein Sof, this all-encompassing light, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu contracted that light and made an empty space, a chalol panoi, and that's where we exist within this empty void. And then to keep the void alive, Hashem pumped a little bit of light back into that so that we can kind of see Him in the world if we're looking carefully. That whole mashal is really just a mashal. That when we say that Hashem contracted His light, there's an appearance of the light being contracted. It looks like Hashem is here less than He used to be. And that's why it looks like there's all sorts of troubles in the world. But if I could see more deeply, and that's what Chanukah is training my eyes to do, if I see more deeply, I realize Hashem never left. Hashem is just hiding. This is all just a way to make the movie more exciting. Hashem's doing all sorts of wild and crazy things to give us a perspective of something that's, surprising. But you can figure out the secret. You can figure out the punchline. You could choose to see with the Or Yediyah, with the light of Hashem's omniscience, as opposed to being trapped in the world of like, I have so many choices to make and I'm so overwhelmed by those choices and I have free will and I don't know, should I do this after I graduate college and I'm stuck at that crossroad. That's the world of Bechira. But when you zoom out to the world of Yediyah, things become much more clear. V'zeh pnimius Or HaGanuz Or HaYediyah. And that's what the Or HaGanuz, we talk about this Or HaGanuz, this hidden light of Chanukah. What is that? What it is about being able to what? To recognize the complete control of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all situations. Why did the Chashmonaim look for oil? Why were they even thinking that there would be oil? Everything was Tameh. Why didn't they give up? Because that's the opposite of this perspective of knowing, nah, Hashem's in charge. There's no way the Greeks are in charge. There's got to be a secret plot twist at the end over here. There's got to be. There always is. That's the Or of Yediyah. The Greeks aren't in charge. Hashem's in charge. This has to work out. So they started looking around. They started looking deeper until they figured out how it's supposed to work out. They found that jar of oil and they fixed everything. And then some. So he writes in parentheses, bottom of the right column, Hainu kefishi yavur lahalan, as we'll explain later on. L'chayos es ha'olam kefishi hu nira mitzad Hashem yisbach. To live your life somewhat from the perspective of Hashem. Lo rak kefi ha-mabat ha-tachton shel ha-bruim, ha-mitsuyim besoch tzimtzum ha-briya. Not only to see things through our narrow perspective, but to zoom out and to try to what? To see with the Or Ein Sof, the Or HaGanus, the light that sees the big picture. The light that, again, the Gemara says, Adam could see from one end of the world to the other end of the world, from the beginning of time to the end of time. Told us Adam. Adam saw everything, every person who ever will be, and everything that's going to happen to them. And Adam didn't panic because he saw that the story ends good. I said to someone the other night, my wife has hanging in our kitchen a beautiful quote on like the bulletin board. It's in Hebrew. But it says something to the extent of, in the end it will all be good. And if it's not good, it's because we're not at the end yet. I mean, if you're saying, no, it's not good, like things are not good. It's not good because you haven't got to the end of the story yet. You haven't read the final chapter yet. It's going to be the greatest plot twist in history. How Hashem puts it all together and works it all out. And there's no like loose ends, Where someone writes an angry blog post like, the movie had a cool end, but they overlooked the fact that halfway through the movie such happened, and like they never tied that loose end up. Hashem's going to tie up all the loose ends. It's going to be a perfect performance. Yeah. Good question.
And then number two is the reason why Hashem was shortened the Peres Das, the reason why he was no longer able to see the light because.
So let's talk about the second question. Let's talk about the second question. Why, according to Rashi and Chumash, why did Hashem hide the Oraganus? Why did Hashem hide the Oraganus? No, it says because Rasham, we're going to misuse the light. How does a Rasha misuse this light? How does a Rasha abuse the Or HaGanuz based on what we're learning? So I'll tell you. I told you once about that. When I taught in TABC, we went on a Shabbaton, and I was up with a bunch of 11th graders very late at night having a big conversation, and one of them was arguing that I can do all the averos I want because that's what Hashem wants. And everyone says, you're a Rasha, you're a liar, and that's not true, you don't actually believe that. He says, what are you saying? You're saying if I choose to eat a cheeseburger that's not Hashem's will, I'm able to do things that God doesn't want? Is that really how you believe God? There's things that I can do that are out of God's control? So everything I do, Hashem wants me to do. Right? That's how a Rasha abuses the Arganus. Because he says, Yediyah, Hashem knows everything anyways. So if I'm gonna, if I go right now and eat a cheeseburger, well, Hashem already knew that. So, like, it was all part of the master plan anyways. Does Hashem not know? If I'm about to walk outside right now and eat a cheeseburger, did Hashem not know that? Would anyone say that Hashem didn't know that? Hashem knew that Moshe Tzvi Weinberg on this day was going to eat a cheeseburger. Okay, so I'm just fulfilling the divine will, the divine knowledge. I'm aligning myself. So this kid was arguing that when I do averos, that's part of the master plan. He's right, but you're not allowed to think like that. He is right, and that's where things get really complicated, and probably why the Ravid says to the Rambam, stop talking about this, you're going to make people crazy and confuse them. But he's right, that kid is right. Hashem will work out all your averos. Okay, great, so now I can be more casual about averos. No, you can't. You're telling me, why would I want to live in the world of Bechira? You're telling me I have access to the Or HaGanuz. I can live in the world of Yediyah. Okay, but don't abuse the Or HaGanuz. Abusing the Or HaGanuz means doing bad things and saying, Hashem, this is all part of your master plan. You'll figure out how to work it all out. You'll make sure that the loose ends are all tied up by the end of the movie. That's abusing the Or HaGanuz. He's saying the Or HaGanuz equals Or Yediyah. The fact that Hashem knows everything. So Hashem knew I was going to, whatever, go off the dock for 10 years and then be Chozer B'tshuva. So I might as well play out that, you know, play out that version of the story. What different? Everything. Lo yidach v'meru nidach. Everything fits into this. Hashem will work out anything. Al pi pnimius, there's no, you know, everything's going to work out. Again, so you understand how a person can become very casual about living their life because I can just throw the whole thing onto Hashem. Hashem, you'll figure it all out. If I live a life of sin, you'll figure out a way to save my soul. But that's not how we're supposed to live. We're supposed to live with an awareness of schar v'onesh. We're supposed to live with bechira. We're supposed to choose to be tzaddikim, like the shvua we took before we came to this world, the Gemara Nida, we all took an oath. Be a tzaddik, don't be a rasha. Whatever, I'll be what I'll be. You'll figure it out, Hashem. That's abusing the Or, that's abusing the Or HaGanuz. Yeah.
I mean, like, that's not true, though. Like, I mean, like, Hashem might, like, tie up loose ends and, like, not how you want it to work, right? Like, the Mar Makas and stuff, like,
Malicha Masa, right? That's Bechira. That's Bechira. Your choices will lead to other things. 100%. You have free will. You have free will. But you don't. But you do. But you don't. But you do. Okay, so this is what the Rambam is saying is an endlessly deep sugya that we're never going to solve. Right? And now Rav Kluger is trying to teach us a very interesting and healthy way to live with both. We all have to, again, halacha l'maisa, we have to live in the world of Bechira. I have to believe that I have the ability to make choices, and my choices matter, and there's such a thing as good choices, and there's such a thing as bad choices. But I also have to know, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really in charge. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really in charge, and He's fully in charge, and in the most broken, I can look at the most broken situation in the world, and not that I'm going to say, well, I don't have to help because God's in charge. No, I have to help. But I also have to stay calm, knowing that what? That the world, how do we start the peace? Shabriya kafi shehi shlema betachlis ha-shlemus. The world is exactly perfect. Exactly the way it needs to be. We said in Yosher Divrei Emes Tuesday night, when Hashem was creating the world, the Gemara says that the name Shakai, Shin Dalet Yud, that name of Hashem, Shin Dalet Yud stands for Sha'amar la'olamo dai, that Hashem said to the world, enough. The world was expanded, the light of Hashem was expanding itself or taking on a physical form of the world, and Hashem told the world exactly how physical and how spiritual it should be. Sha'amar lo olam odai. Hashem struck a balance where He's very well hidden, but is still able to be found. If Hashem reveals Himself too much, then it's too easy, and the game's not fun. If Hashem hides Himself to the point that you can't find God, that's not fair. So Hashem found that point, Sha'amar lo olam odai, right here. That's enough, perfect. That's the spot that strikes the balance where Hashem is hidden, but if I search for Him, I'll find Him. But I mentioned the Vart from the son of the altar of Slobodka, who said, Sha'amar lo olam odai also means b'derech Musar, and I say it also b'derech Hasidus. Shamar lo olam odai, Hashem says to the world, die. You have enough. You have enough. You have exactly what you need. Die. You have enough. You have everything you need. Really? Have everything I need? Right now we have everything we need in the world? Yeah, we have everything we need. So why don't I see it? Ah, why don't you see it? It's a different question. But it's here. It's just hidden. Learn how to see it. Train yourself to see it. Let's keep reading. Let's look at Rav Kluger's Mashalim. V'zeh inyan tamim tiyem Hashem Elokecha. This is what the Pasuk says in Parsha Shoftim. You should be what? Wholesome with Hashem. Complete with Hashem. Tamim tiyem Hashem Elokecha. Al tachor acher ha'asidos. The way Rashi and Chazal understand the Pasuk is what? That a person shouldn't, what does it mean? Tachor? Bachor? To investigate, to search for. You shouldn't be seeking what? Asidos, the future. You shouldn't go to a fortune teller saying, tell me my future. What's going to be in the future? Why not? Why not? It's a real thing. There's people who can see the future. Maybe not so much Bizman Azeh, but there was once upon a time, there were real kochos hara, a person could look into the future. Why is it so bad? Why is Hashem so against us looking into the future? So he says, I'll tell you. V'yuvan api mashal lahorim, shenedabru b'neim lirchosh liyoladim davar ma. Imagine the parents are getting ready for Hanukkah, and they want to buy their children a present for Hanukkah. Is there such an Indian to buy presents on Hanukkah? That's a good question. Let's imagine for a second there is. It's a minhag that some people have. Okay? So the parents want to buy a surprise for their children. They want to acquire something for their children. Baram terem gil hamas adamar. And the parents have decided, we're going to purchase this for our child. And they have yet to reveal to the child what it is that they have for the child. Me'ata. Now, imagine, says Rav Kluger. Im echad hayaladim gila es asoda kamus hazeh. So imagine if one of the children, right, spoils the surprise, reveals the secret, says, you know what mom or dad bought us? And they tell the other, chakar achar asidos, chikar achar asidos. Would you say that this child has just revealed the future? I mean, the present's supposed to, you know, arrive on Tuesday. So now the child is making a prediction. I know that there's going to be a gift that's going to come in the future. Is the child revealing something of the future? Is it really a thing of the future? Hare Eitzel HaHorim, from the parents' perspective, Ein Zeh Begeder Sod HaAsid. It's not a thing of the future. It's actually a thing of the past. We decided last week to buy this present already. Right? So from the child's perspective, the child has found out early, so to speak, about something which is supposed to happen later. From the parents' perspective, this is all old news. This whole thing is old news. You hear? It's a great mashal. Ela etzlam adavar baru pashut. By them, it's obvious. There's no chiddush here. Right? When he tells his you know, the other kid, right? When this, you know, when the 6-year-old tells the 4-year-old, I saw that, you know, Imar Abba bought us a present, right? So he thinks he's revealing the secrets of creation. From the parents' perspective, they discussed it months ago, and they bought it months ago. Right? So the 4-year-old, this is like a revelation of something that's going to happen in the future. To the parents, it's a davar pashut. Hagiloi shel hayeled hu giloi davar she'adayin hayanister me'einav. So what does it mean that he's revealing the secret of the future to this younger sibling? What it means is he's bringing into perspective, he's allowing him to see something that until now his eyes and his mind weren't able to see or to know about. You hear? Chav, you following this mashal? It's a deep piece, but it's very understandable. I didn't pick this piece because I'm trying to confuse anyone. It's a very understandable idea. When the 6-year-old tells the 4-year-old about the present the parents bought, so from the 4-year-old's perspective, it's mamash giloy, he's revealing the future. From the parents' perspective, there's literally no chiddush. Nothing has changed. Hainu Hashem Yisbarach Omer LaAdam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to a person, Lavalya Munach Bekatnuso Shalom. Hashem says to a person, don't be so small. Don't see the world in such a small way. Asher Kol Davar She'adayin Einenu Nira LeNeged Einav. Just because you haven't seen it, doesn't mean that it's not there. Nechshav Etzlo K'davar Kamus U'Mufla V'Niskav HaMafim Esrucho. Right? Secrets, what's going to be the future, wondering about the future. So Hashem says, don't be such a katan, it's all here now. When I pretended to leave, Hashem says, I never really left. I put up some blinders, so it's hard for people to see. Just look, if you look more deeply, you'll see that nothing changed. So So the most broken thing in the world is not actually broken. From your limited chronological perspective of reality, as time is unfolding, so you see it as broken. Right now it's broken. Hashem exists outside of time. Or Haganus, Misofa Olam Vatsofa, and Hashem sees there's nothing broken. There's not broken. A person who works out and he tears muscles to build bigger muscles, that's broken? If you look at him when he's like in pain after a good workout, he's broken? No. Right? Not broken, that's what I mean. This is part of the unfolding process of becoming stronger. So from Hashem's perspective, he doesn't look at it right here at the point of suffering. Hashem sees the big picture. This all makes sense. It's all good. From Hashem's perspective, the whole thing is good. The world is perfect. So therefore, from Hashem's perspective, it's all revealed. And therefore, there's nothing so shocking. There's nothing so shocking. I'm just realizing now, you know what? Maybe this is the secret of what the Rambam was filled with secrets, right? The Rambam, everyone likes to make the Rambam into a rationalist philosopher, was influenced by Aristotle and Greek philosophy, right? But the Rambam was also Kodesh Kadashim, which is why I like when people are Megala secrets in the Rambam. They try to show the Rambam really was deeply connected to Pnimiyas HaTorah. Again, whether historically he learned Kabbalah or not is not, you know, our conversation right now. Obviously, some people will claim that he did. Others will say it's absurd. Of course, he didn't. Okay? But when the Rambam describes Mashiach, how does the Rambam describe Mashiach? In Hilchos Malachim, how does the Rambam describe Mashiach? You know what the Rambam says? Mashiach, the future. Pretty boring. The Rambam's Mashiach is not at all exciting or fun. You're going to be so depressed when you hear the Rambam's Mashiach. Like, you're picturing Mashiach like all sorts of crazy giluyim, wow, things like we've never imagined or seen before. HaMelech HaMashiach Asid Lamod Lahachzer Malchus Beis David Leoshna. Mashiach said to come, he's going to restore the Davidic dynasty. And he's going to restore Jewish rule throughout the land. Okay, set up a government. Yeah, fine, Gevaldik. And then the Rambam says, Al Yala Al Alev, this is Hilchos Malachim, chapter 12. Al Yala Al Alev, Shabbi Moshe Mashiach, Yabatal Dover Mimin Hagel Shalom. Don't think that when Mashiach comes, anything's going to change. The world's going to be exactly the same. Oh, Yashum Chidish Mavai Sabracious. Nothing new is going to happen. Ela Olam, famous words of the Rambam, Olam, Kimin Hagel, Nohek. The world will be exactly the same as it is now. What's the secret of what the Rambam is saying, based on what we're learning today? A totally new understanding of that Rambam. Yeah? Yeah, this is Mashiach's now. Mashiach's happening right now. Oh, you don't see it yet? That's your problem. Okay, so work on helping people to see it. That's where Bechira comes in. From the perspective of Hashem, we're going to be like, whoa, Mashiach's here. Hashem's going to be like, what's the Chiddush? Olam kamin hago noig. The world was perfect before. It was Shleimu b'tachlis HaShleimus, says Rav Kluger. Right? That's why Mashiach's not shocking. Because from Hashem's perspective, it's like the parents when the 6-year-old reveals to the 4-year-old that mom and dad bought us a present. And the parents are like, big chiddush. From Hashem's perspective, it's all revealed already. Right? So what does it mean? Now let's come back. What does it mean? Tamim tia Hashem Elokecha. Be wholesome with Hashem. Says Rashi, don't look for asidos. Right? Don't go to a palm reader to figure out what's going to be in the future. Because that reveals your shallowness. Why does that reveal your shallowness? Because you're saying, right now, nothing's broken. Again, I have to also live with the reality of Bechira, that things are broken. But I have to hold stark in a very real way. That nothing's broken. Hashem's in charge. Fully in charge. Everything's going to work out fine. Everything is working out fine. Look what he writes. V'zesha kasav Rashi. Tamim tiyam Hashem lokecha means what? His halech imo b'tmimus. Tmimus means perfect. Everything is perfect now. So you ask yourself, how could I say that it's so broken now? Not from God's perspective, it's not. From your perspective. So be bigger than your perspective. V'titzap lo v'lo tachar achar asidos. Don't look to, I want to know the future as if the future is something different. That means you're rejecting the fact that Hashem is in charge right now. I look forward to the day when Hashem will be in charge. Hashem's in charge right now. Ela kol ma sheyavo elecha, be makabelit b'tmimus, Va'oz tia imo ulechalko. And then you'll be, then you'll truly be with Hashem. And you could say that I'm with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? That I'm with Hashem. V'yaser omek, let's just go one step further, okay? Chavar, you ready to finish it up? Let's go one step further. He says, Kasher Adam Soger Eino Achas. I'll tell you this mashal outside for the sake of time. Yeah? He says, imagine a person closes one eye, okay, keeps one eye open, and he puts a wooden, you know, block or board over the other eye with a little hole in the middle. And he's peeking through the hole. He's peering through the hole. And he sees the leg of a desk or a chair. Right? That's all he sees. That's the full thing, okay? So you ask him, what do you see? I see the leg of a desk. Okay, great. And then we remove the thing in front of his eye, and all of a sudden, his whole, you know, expanse of his vision comes into focus. And he sees, wait a minute, it's not just a leg. It's actually attached to a table. And it's in a room, and there's things on the table. There's a whole meal set on the table. And he starts to see all these things that he hasn't noticed when he was looking through that tiny hole. So would you say, like, whoa, look at all these things. Like, all these things just suddenly appeared. They weren't here before. Now they're here. So of course not. They were there all along. It was your narrow perspective. It was your limited vision that didn't allow you to see. So to describe those things that now you can see all of a sudden as, whoa, look at these new things. There's nothing new. Nothing new was created. You just now have the ability to see more broadly where you couldn't see before. So he says Rav Kluger, turn to the second side of the page. Bottom paragraph, the right column. So now that I told you these two mashalim, of a person peeking through a small opening and then removing that blockage and seeing the whole thing, right? Or the parents who knew what their kids found out later, the parents knew all along. It wasn't a big surprise for them. Yuvan bepashtus she'ein anu mechalkim va'omrim she'klapei ha'shulchan ze yesh ri'iyah achas ketanu me'uta me'od. She balas hasaga gam lemishri asu mitzutzemes ad ma'od. V'yesh od ri'iyah acheres gavoa ugenuza ilas v'niskava. Right? You wouldn't say, there's two totally different scenes in front of me. Right? You wouldn't say that there's the table leg, and then there's like a totally different thing where you can see the whole table with everything on the table and the whole person. It's the table's exactly the same. The table's exactly the same. It's not two totally different worldviews. It's just a question of how you choose to see it. They overlap. It's just a question of what you choose to see. Right? The problem is, he says in the third line of the left column, the problem is I'm seeing the thing in front of my face. I'm not able to what? To see the whole table. This distinction stems from what? From my narrow and limited perspective. When you're looking through that narrow opening, you could say, this is the Metzias. Tell me, do you see anything else? No. All I see is a table, the leg of a table. Are you sure there's nothing else? And you look through that little opening, you say, I'm telling you, there's nothing else. So that's absurd. That's absurd. And when you see everything else after you remove that thing in front of your eye, it's like, whoa, look at all these things that just were created. Nothing was created. They were there the whole time. You just didn't see it. So therefore, the goal is to what? The goal of Or HaGanuz in our life is to be able to see more deeply, to see more broadly, to recognize the things that have been there the entire time, and to not think like, oh my gosh, this is a new creation. These are new things. And it's a tremendously delicate balance of what? Of Yediyah and Bechira. Okay? Go to the last paragraph on the page. Or HaYediyah who sowed Balei Tshuva. Sowed Balei Tshuva. The Or HaYediyah, which we're saying is the code word for Or HaGanuz, is the secret of Balei Tshuva. It could be perverted the way that I described to you, that 11th grader said I can do all the Averis I want because that's what Hashem wants. Hashem knows about it, so I can do it. And Hashem will work it out. That perversion is the inverse of that perversion is something called tshuva. Is that even if I chose to do averos, but God forbid I did averos, and now I want to change. What gives me the ability to change? The realization that Hashem was in charge all along. Now again, I can't say that as a heter to do averos. I can't say, well, God is in charge and therefore I'm going to go do Averos, and that's Hashem's decision. But after I've done an Avera and I need Chizuk to try again, I have to say, relax, my Avera is not outside of God's awareness. Hashem knows about the Avera. Hashem knew about the Avera before you even did it. That's a very deep idea. It's a very complicated theological idea, philosophical idea. Don't use that to do Averos. This is the danger of learning Pnimiyas HaTorah. But this is also the chizuk of Pnimiyas HaTorah. If I did an Avera, and I feel like, no, I can never recover from this Avera. Guess what? God knew about that Avera, that you were going to do it in that place at that time before the world was even created. What do you say about that? And you still exist. You're here. So it must be that it's part of the master plan. And therefore, pick yourself up and start again. Do tshuva. Says Rav Kluger, the Or HaYediyah is the sod of the Bali tshuva. B'chinas David HaMelech. Let's just look at this one Maimer Chazal that he quotes. Hayodim ki kol etzem mitzias habriya kafi shehi, yesh po or Hashem yisbach. The whole world as it is filled with the light of Hashem. The broken things are not as broken as they appear. The kesher nishmas Yisrael mekadosh baruch hu, haynu kesher be'etzem. And my connection to Hashem is not something that needs to be worked on. It also needs to be worked on from my human perspective, but from the God perspective, it just is. It just is. My relationship with Hashem just is and can never be severed by my bechira, by my choices. Asher ein lo shvira olamis. There's nothing that can break it. There's nothing that can take it away. He quotes a Gemara in Meseches Yoma Chav Beis Amud Beis. Sha'ol ba'achas v'lo olsalo. David b'shtayim v'olsalo. You know what that means? Sha'ol made one mistake and it ruined him. What was the mistake of Sha'ol HaMelech? Malik. And Shmuel comes to him, the Navi comes to him and says, you're ruined, that's it, game over for you.
That's awesome.
One mistake, right, and his kingdom didn't last. Also means like it didn't go up. His kingdom didn't withstand the test of time. David, on the other hand, makes more than one mistake. David made two mistakes, and David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam, and David's kingdom goes on forever. How is it that the repeat offender is able to outlast the one who made one mistake? Again, David HaMelech has a broader perspective than Shaul HaMelech. Right? Now, I'm not going to explain that I'll be David versus Shaul right now. But to say it simply in the context of what we're learning, right? There's people who what? They get so into the world of Bechira, they become so paralyzed by their choices, that even one big mistake, that's it, game over. Time to hang up my crown. I can't be a melech anymore. And that's what happened to Shaul. One big mistake, can never recover. David HaMelech made a mistake, made another mistake, and we say David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam. Because David HaMelech teaches us that even when our Bechira is not working out so well, right, we have to remind ourselves that there's something called Yediya. There's Hashem's omniscience. There's Hashem being in charge. There's the realization that what? David is the sphere of Malchus, the lowest of the spheros, which the Zohar says, Malchus, les le mi garmei klum. I have nothing of my own. I don't even exist. Everything is just the light of Hashem. That could be a fluffy idea, it could be an abstract idea, or it could be a very helpful, real idea in Avodas Hashem, which is what we're trying to learn today. That when a person gets trapped in Bechira, zoom out a little bit to the world of Yediyah, and realize that Hashem is in charge. That is the Or HaGadlus. That's the big secret. That's the secret light of creation. The light that spans from one end of the world to the other end of the world. The light that gives a person perspective to see the whole story and not to get lost in the details along the way. Okay, so it's a very deep idea, but I think it's, I hope it was clear. I hope it's clear. I think it really explains that Ram. I'm very excited about that Pshat in the Rambam. And the Ram says, Mashiach's not anything new. It's nothing surprising. Because from the parents' perspective, there's nothing new. Hashem says I see the whole thing. When you're looking through that tiny little crack in the door, you think all you see is a chair leg. You don't see that there's a whole table set, a surprise party for you. From your perspective, it's a surprise party. From the one who planned it, it was never a surprise. It was part of the plan all along. So Mir Hashem, we should be zochet to see with the Or HaGadlus, to understand the Or HaYediyah. Again, it's complicated. I have to maintain my right to make good choices, to be bocher batov, uvacharta b'chayim, but at the same time, I have to know that Hashem was in charge, is in charge, and forever will be in charge. Okay? I hope you enjoyed this idea. It's deep, but I think it's, I hope it was something you enjoyed.